We are continuing our series on the supernatural, and today we are going to dual faith and the glory of God. I want to talk to you about the glory of God and faith, and I want to show you how the glory of God affects everything you do and many times the things that you don't do. I want to show you how powerful you are and how powerful you can become when you begin to reside and abide under the glory of God. I want to show you the power of God that's resting in you, just waiting to flow out of you if you will begin to submit yourself to the... Clap your hands for the Holy Ghost. You can write this down. Go to Genesis, the second chapter, the seventh verse. Somebody say, God's glory. Oh, you can do better than that. God's glory. My God. Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, I want you to understand that God blew in Adam's nostril, and that breath that he blew into Adam's nostril, you can write it down, it included the glory of God. The moment Adam was created, he was not created with sickness or poverty or dysfunction. He was not created with any problems, any mental instability. The moment God created Adam, Adam was born or created a 100% full man. Somebody say full man. Say it again, full man. When God blew into his nostrils, he blew the glory of God. And the glory of God is the essence of God, the character of God, the integrity of God, actually the persona of God. And so when he blew into the nostrils of Adam, he was blowing himself into the nostrils of Adam. That's why the Bible says in Genesis, the third chapter, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness, that man may have dominion and authority over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the beast of the field. The glory of God is the essence of God. And every one of you that obey God, every one of you that are under the blood-stained banner, every one of you that have submitted yourself to the glory of God, you are walking now in the glory. Write this down. I want to show you what happens when you're walking in the glory. When God created Adam, Adam came here 100%. He didn't come as an infant. He didn't come as a child. He didn't come as a teenager. He didn't come as a young adult. He did not come as a middle-aged adult or a senior. When he said, let us make man, and he dug his hand down into the ground, Adam came up a full-blooded, mature man. What does that mean? When God blew the glory in his nostrils, there was no room for space or time or matter. When God created Adam and Eve, they were created 100%. You know what that means? That means that there's no time for growth. There was no time for process. Because whenever the glory comes, the glory is in the now. Somebody say now. Say now again. Point number two, I want you to understand that in the Garden of Eden, it didn't have any small plants. They didn't have any little bitty trees. The Garden of Eden was in full bloom. Trees were 20 feet tall. Flowers were in full bloom in the Garden of Eden, because the Garden of Eden was under the glory of God. And anything that's in the glory of God skips the process and goes into the now. Number three, Adam was created in the glory of God. He was super intelligent. His brain operated at 100%. How do you know, preacher? God told Adam to name every animal and every plant. He didn't say, dog, what do I do? How do I do it? God told Adam to till the garden. He didn't say, God, how do I do it? Because he was A1, 100% walking in the glory of God. The breath of God was breathed down into his inner being. He was super intelligent. Somebody say super intelligent. Number four, his intellect was so phenomenal that Adam was able to function. I need you to write that word down. Function off of the glory of God. Now, what does that mean? I'm going to teach you today. That means that when God created Adam and Eve, there was no seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest came after Adam and Eve sinned. When Adam and Eve were created, it was harvest and then seed time. Did that make sense to you? Harvest and then seed time. Adam was created a full-grown man. The Garden of Eden was full bloom, fertilized fully, 100% growing. So that meant it was a reversal of time. It was harvest and seed time. We now live in seed time harvest. And the reason why we live in seed time harvest, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we have been absent of the glory of God. And so now there is a process in our lives in order for miracles and signs and wonders to take place if you are not under the glory. Somebody say harvest seed time. You know what that means? That means that the tree was 20 feet tall, and when the seed fell to the ground, another tree was born, was raised 20 feet tall. You know what that means? The flower was this tall, and when the pollen or the seed from the flower fell from the ground, it wasn't not an itty bitty piece of flower. It grew just as tall. I need you to think about this. Let us make man in our own image and our own likeness, that man may have dominion and authority over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the beast of the field. And man has the glory of God in him. And God expected and fully intended for Adam to operate 100% capacity mentally and physically and spiritually. He expected Adam and Eve to function in the area that he functioned also, and man sinned. The glory of God is what we experience when we come into this house. And some of you are mishandling the glory of God. You're talking to one another, and the glory of God begins to descend. And when it descends, he is telling you, I have no future. I have no past. I bring the future into your present. And when you are under the glory of God, you can get it now. Clap your hands for the Holy Ghost. So, the glory of God. In the glory of God, the glory of God is eternity, because God is eternity and eternity is now. In the now, there's no space, there's no time, which means in the glory of God, there's no space. Somebody space. No time. All is in full maturity. Now, wait a minute. So if there's no space and no time, and the glory of God is now, that must mean that our faith in God is now. Does that make sense? So what does the scripture say in Hebrews 11:1? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. Now, you know what that means? That means when you are believing God in faith, it pushes away your space and your time, because faith is now. Faith is never tomorrow. Faith is never someday. Faith is never 2 days later. Faith is the first dimension of the supernatural. And whenever you deal in faith, you are dealing in the now, because faith and the glory and the anointing walk hand in hand. And God never deals in the future. God deals now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. So God does this. He takes your future and your past, and he invades your present, and he gives you what you need in your present. You didn't get that, did you? Hello, somebody. He takes your future and your past, and he invades your future and your past with his presence. Whenever God does something for you, he does it. Say it again, now. Say it loud, now. So now faith is, you write this down. God does not need space or time. He takes your future and your past. He merges it together so that your present can, so that you can receive what you need in your present. God does not operate in time, nor does God operate in matter. God operates in the now, which means if God says you are healed today, today you are healed. If God says you are delivered today, you are delivered today, because God does not say in 98 days and 6 months you're going to be healed. If the glory of God and your faith merges together, it happens now. Tell your neighbor, I want my blessing now. I want my healing now. I want my deliverance now. So wait a minute. So when we walk in the glory, we eliminate time and space. When you eliminate time and space, that means you pull out of the supernatural the future. You pull out of the supernatural. Did you hear me? You pull out of the supernatural the future and you bring it to your presence. I need you to get a good understanding of what the glory is. Have you ever been sick to almost unto death, not feeling good, coming to the service and everything in your body is hurting, and you got under the anointing and the glory of God, and while you're under the glory of God, you don't feel nothing, because the future healing was brought into the come to the church, my God, depressed and oppressed. My God, get under the glory of God and your mindset begins to change and your attitude begins to change, because now you are in the glory. You are in the now. Clap your hands for the Holy Ghost. My God, the glory of God, the glory of God. So you can write this down. The supernatural power of God. I need you to hear this, because when we finish this, you're going to get what you need. The supernatural power of God cannot exist, will not exist, cannot exist if the church continues to believe God for the future. Did you hear what I said? If you want God to get you something, or believe you're believing God for your healing, you can never get God to heal you or deliver you or set you free when you are believing God for the future. God does not operate in the future. The glory of God does not operate in the future. The faith of God does not operate in the future. Now faith is. The glory of God is now. Let me explain what I'm saying. God is not restricted with time or matter. God is not restricted with time zones. God is not restricted to what's going on in your body. God does not even acknowledge time. He is timeless. So his glory is timeless, and your faith in God is timeless. So when you want a sign, when you want a miracle, when you need a healing, when you need a deliverance, somewhere over the rainbow. No. You're asking God for it now. Now faith is. Now let's go back. The church cannot see the multiplicity of signs and wonders and miracles is because you're always believing for in the future. In the future, I'm going to be able to pay my bills. In the future, I'm going to be healed. Not many days since, my God, my marriage is going to be put together. In the future, God is going to do this and that and such and such. Do you not know why God gave everybody faith? The Bible says God gave to every man a measure of faith. He gave you the measure of faith so that you can eliminate time and matter and you can get what you need now. When the writer wrote about faith, he said, now! Faith is not tomorrow. Faith is not 20 years from now. God can't operate 20 years from now. God does not operate 20 years from now. Eternity is now. The glory is now. The anointing is now. Faith is now. Everything in the supernatural is now. Clap your hands for the Holy Ghost. So what am I to do, preacher? Well, how am I missing it? Because many times you are believing God in faith. And while you are believing God in faith, you don't understand that faith is now. Faith pulls out of the future and brings it down to the present so that you can enjoy your future in the present. Does that make sense? Hello, somebody. Let me say it again. Faith pulls out of the future what God has already given you, what he gave you before your mother met your father and your grandfather met your grandmother. And he's given you faith so you can pull out of the future what you need in the present so you can have what you need, skip time and matter, and be blessed now. Tell your neighbor, I want to be blessed now. I want to be healed now. Write this down. Faith compresses time and matter. The glory of God compresses time and matter. So everything, let me say something to you. Think about the things that you need. Everything you need it now. Hello, somebody. Am I right, Tina? Everything you need it now. Hello, you need healing now. Who is waiting for God to heal Sugar 20 years from now? Who is waiting for God to heal arthritis 20 years from now? Who dare will believe God to heal a deadly disease 20 years from now? When you are believing God, you are not believing God for 20 years from now or 2 months from now. You don't have a time clock on God. God does not honor time and space. It is only you that's restricted to time and space. And the reason why God gave you faith is so that you can move time and matter out of your way and receive what thus said the Lord now. My. Can you see why the Book of Acts church was able to get signs and wonders and miracles right away? When they spoke it, it came to pass. When they said, rise up and be healed, the man that gave beautiful, he said, seal and gold have I none, but such as I have, I'll give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. The man didn't say, well, I'll probably walk 2 months from now or 6 months from now. I'll probably walk a year from now. Let me explain something. The faith of that man was so relevant, so powerful, so connected to the glory of God, that when he began to speak the word of God mixed with that faith gave that man strength in his ankles, and that man rose up now. Read your book of Acts. Read what the book of Acts says. You never see nobody coming talking about Peter, you laid hands on me 6 months ago and I'm still sick. It's not because of Peter laid hands wrong. It's because the man didn't have faith. Hello, somebody. Hey, John, can I speak to you for a moment? You prayed for my blind eyes, but I'm still blind. Oh, no. Now faith is. You got to get a hold of the now. You got to understand now. Now means he brings the future to invade the past and he gives you the present. That's what God wants. You know why he does that? Because when Adam and Eve sinned, let me go to Romans. I don't want to go too quickly. My God. Well, let me not go to Genesis. Genesis 3:17-20. And then go to Genesis 3:16 and Romans 3:23. Genesis 3:16. Now you remember what happened when Adam and Eve, let me just read one scripture. All right, let me read the sixth verse. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed themselves fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves among the presence of God among the trees in the garden. Now, wait a minute. Go down to the 17th verse. And Adam said, because thou, and unto Adam he said, because thou have hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Wait a minute, I'm going to show you what's going on. Let me show you what happened. Adam and Eve were walking in the glory of God. The garden was magnificent. The trees were 20 foot tall and 8 feet tall. The fruits were this big while they were under the glory of God, while they were under the submission of God, while they were obeying God. The moment they ate of the tree, they disobeyed God, and God took from them the glory of God. Did you hear what I said? The Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When the glory of God is not in your life, it's nothing but defeat and failure and poverty and illness and disease. The moment Adam and Eve ate, everything that God gave them was taken away. And then God said this. He said, before you disobeyed me, you could walk through this garden and pick out any fruit that you wanted. You named all the animals. You were walking in 100% of brain power. You were more intelligent than anything in the garden. But now you're going to have to work for a living. And your brain power is going to be decreased. And your physical power is going to be decreased. And your spiritual power is going to be decreased. Because now you have substituted limited knowledge for infinite knowledge. Let me tell you what you do when you disobey God. You substitute infinite knowledge for limited knowledge. Let me say it again. When you disobey God and you want to do it your way, you remember Frank Sinatra, he want to do it his way. You substitute infinite knowledge, infinite revelation for limited knowledge. That's what happened to Adam and Eve, and that's what happens to every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of the earth when you refuse to obey God line upon line and precept upon precept. Your ability to obey God, your ability to subject yourself to the will of God, your ability to learn obedience, your ability to worship and praise Him moves you into the glory of God. When you are moved into the glory of God, nothing is impossible to them that believe. Clap your hands for the Holy Ghost. So what is it? So what happens here? Go to Genesis, the 8th chapter, 22. Now remember, and I'm going to tell you this before we go so you can understand what goes on. Genesis 8, 22. You can write this down. Fear disconnects you from the glory of God. Doubt disconnects you from the glory of God. Strife disconnects you from the glory of God. Unbelief disconnects you from the glory of God. And here's a big one. Sin disconnects you from the glory of God. When Adam and Eve sinned, God withdrew His glory. Now Adam, he lived 900 more years, but had he not sinned, he would have lived forever. When God withdrew His glory, now Adam is like a mere man. He got to work for his living. He got to use maybe 10 or 15% of his brain power while he was under the submission of God, while he was obeying God, while he was under the glory of God. 100% of the glory of God and His brain power was working. All have sinned and falling short of the glory of God. A lot of you, when you are sinning and doing what does not say the Lord, you think you are just hurting yourself or you are getting away with it. Honey, you're not getting away with anything. You are disconnecting yourself from the glory of God. And it is the glory of God that goes into the future and brings you what you want in the present. It is the glory of God that gives you the healing right now. It is the glory of God that pays your bills right now. It is the glory of God that delivers you right now. Clap your hands for the Holy Ghost. Somebody say glory. Glory. Now wait a minute. Remember, after Adam sinned, the land, the earth was cursed. And he told Adam, with thorns and thistles will you make a living. But remember, before his sin, my God, it was harvest seed time. Remember that? He was born a full-blown man. The flowers were full bloom. There was full fertility in the Garden of Eden. The animals were full grown. Everything was at 100% before Adam sinned. Go with me to Genesis, the 8th chapter. This is astounding, because I never really connected it this way at all. 8:22, it says, while the earth remained it, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. What is he talking about? He's saying, you know what? I didn't have a winter or a summer. I didn't have a day or a night. I didn't have seed time and harvest. None of that stuff was operating as long as Adam and Eve was in the garden obeying me, submitting to me, and becoming my sons and daughters. But the moment they sinned, it disconnected them from the glory of God. And now I got to put the whole world in process. Summer and winter and spring and fall. Now I got to put the whole world in process. Day and night. Now I got to put men, women, boys, and girls in process. Infant, then childhood, then teenagers, then young adults, then middle adults, then seniors. The moment the glory of God is lifted, process comes. You know what process means? That means you get it in stages. That's what process means. Have you ever got your blessing in stages? Have you ever got your pay in stages? Have you ever got your deliverance in stages? My God, because the moment sin came upon the earth, the spirit and the plan and the level of process came. God said, looking at man, he says, you know, I really don't want man to live in process. He said, because if men live in process, the disease that they have will kill them. I really don't want man to live in process, because if they live in process, the poverty that's on them lie on their lives will destroy them. I really don't want man to live in process, because if they live in process, their relationships will not get right. He says, so now this is what I'm going to do to man. I'm going to allow him to have faith. I'm going to give to every man a measure of faith. And with that measure of faith, he can eliminate the process. He can eliminate time and matter. And when he really, really needs me, when he really needs healing, when he really needs deliverance, he can walk in my faith. And the moment he walks in my faith is connected to my glory. Now faith is. It has no space. It has no time. It has no matter. He can walk in my glory. Glory has no faith, no time, no space or matter. He says, I want you to have it. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. Clap your hands for the Holy Ghost. So, the reason why the church is still waiting to walk like the book of Acts and still waiting to be healed and still waiting for my ship to come in is because you were walking in process. Your faith has not been developed enough to pull the future into the present. Let me explain something to you. Faith must be developed like the muscles on your body. Hello, somebody. Some of you think you have faith because you pray. No. Faith is developed like the muscles on your body. You know how you do, you know how you develop the muscles on your body? You exercise your body. Hello? You eat right. You exercise. You want your arms to get bigger? You exercise your arms. You want your legs to be bigger? You exercise your legs. You want to get prettier? Sorry, there's no exercise for that. Hallelujah. You want to lose weight? You exercise your body. So it is with you and faith. He said, I give you a measure of faith, and the measure of faith must line up with what you are facing. Now, if you got second grade faith and you are facing a college degree situation, now you got to exercise your faith so your faith can get large enough and powerful enough to eliminate past and future and bring what you want in the present. Clap your hands for the Holy Ghost. Somebody say faith. Wait a minute. So that means what really does that mean? That means this. That means that the supernatural is the glory of God and faith. And if it's in the supernatural, that means the answer is not in the earth realm, it is in the spirit realm. And if the answer is in the spirit realm and not in the earth realm, then God is saying there are some things that you must use and there are some things that you must need to bring out of the future into the present. So let me give it to you again so you can write it down. The glory of God takes the future and the past and invades your present. Faith, which is now, takes the future and the past and invades your present. What does that mean? That means somebody gave you a death sentence and the doctor said you got 60 days to live. You got 2 years to live. You're going to be taking medicine all the days of your life. But now you are operating under the word of God in faith. And so the faith that you are operating in under the word of God pulls your healing out of the realm of the supernatural, which God gave to you 2,000 years ago, and he brings it into your present, and it eliminates time and matter. What do you think happens when someone has polio and some preacher lays hands on them and they get up and start walking? They eliminated time and matter. What do you think happened to the man at Gate Beautiful? He's been lame all the days of his life, and he's begging to keep his life going, and just begging alms and alms and alms. And Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. What do you think happened? Time and matter has been eliminated. Time and matter has been compressed. Does that make sense? See, faith compresses time and matter and brings time and matter into the now. Did you hear what I said? The glory of God compresses time and matter, and it brings time and matter into the now. Let me explain what I'm saying. When the glory of God, how many of you ever been in here and you seen the whole sanctuary cloudy? Just the smoke of God in here. That's the glory of God. Whenever you are in the glory of God, you can ask what you want, because now you are under the glory of God, and it brings the future to the present. Does that make sense? Hello? And when somebody says you can have this and this and this and this, you will be foolish when you walk out of here and you don't receive what you need. The glory is here. That means now is here. Time and matter has been compressed. God does not operate in time and matter. Does that make sense? He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. What is he saying? He's saying, if you believe the word of God in faith, what you are afflicted of right now, I can heal you of right now, because now faith is. the glory of God. See, you get healed all kind of ways. You get healed by the anointing. You get healed by the word of God. You get healed by being in the glory of God. You can get healed with the gifts of God. But let me explain something. All of it operates in the now. God does not operate in the future. He gives you faith so you can eliminate the future and bring it into the present. Now, I'm not talking about your 4 years of degree. You're going to have to go 4 years. You're not going to be standing up there talking about, I believe God that I don't have to do these 4 years of college. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about these things that are detrimental to your health. I'm talking about the things that God gave to you before your mother met your father and your grandfather met your grandmother. I'm talking about the things that God put aside to you, just like he put aside the gifts and the talents and the abilities and the capabilities to Jeremiah. He called Jeremiah. He said, Jeremiah! I called you before you were in your mother's womb, and I gave you the ability and the resources and the gifts and the talents to operate as a pastor, as a prophet while you were in your mother's womb. Now, Jeremiah, I'm going to walk backwards into your life, and I'm going to allow what I put in your life to be activated so you can operate it now. When did Jeremiah get it? Did he get it the moment he prophesied? I dare say to you, never. He got it before the mother and father got together. He got it before the grandmother and the grandfather got it together. He got it before he was in his mother's womb, because God said, I gave it to you now. When is now? Now is eternity. Oh, you didn't get that, did you? You didn't get that, did you? Eternity is now, and now is eternity. The glory is now, and now is the glory. Faith is now, and now is faith. So why are the churches not receiving what thus saith the Lord? Check your book of Acts out. You don't have to believe me. You don't have to believe me. Hello? Go home and read the book of Acts. Hello? Go home and read the book of Acts. See, some of you are so traditional, and you have so much religiosity that you cannot believe the book of Acts. The girl was dying, and the father said, come, my daughter is dying. On the way, he was interrupted. He was interrupted with the woman with the issue of blood. He healed the woman with the issue of blood. No, he didn't heal the woman with the issue of blood. The woman with the issue of blood healed herself by her faith. She brought what was in the future into her present. They said that she had been suffering for 12 years. She thought in her mind, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole 60 days from now. I will be made whole 2 weeks from now. I will be made whole 3 days from now. No. She said, if I touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Period. Touch the hem of Jesus' garment in faith. The moment she touched the hem of his garment in faith, it activated the healing of God. The healing of God is connected to the glory of God. Jesus turns around and say, woman, thy faith has made thee whole. Somebody say, now faith is. Say it again, now faith is. Now, so what are we talking about now? We're talking about the church remaining in the book of Acts. Can I say something to you? God never intended for the church to get out of the book of Acts. He always intended for the church to operate on the same level as the book of Acts and then some. Now, let me explain something to you. The book of Acts is the baby church. Hello, somebody. They didn't know how to really, really speak the word. They didn't know how to call those things that were not. All they knew is what Jesus had taught them. That's the baby church. Somebody say the baby church. God intended for us to study the book of Acts, to walk in the book of Acts, to talk in the book of Acts, to activate the book of Acts in our lives so the book of Acts can be activated activated in the lives of the believer, and if the book of Acts is activated in the lives of the believer will become the light of the world, the city set on the hill. Instead of the believer going to the world will become to the believer, because the believer has the answer. The believer got the deliverance. The believer got the healing. The believer got the money. Say it! Somebody say, Book of Acts, Book of Acts, Book of Acts. Woo. My God, my God. So God gives us faith, which is connected to his glory, so that you can bring out of the future into the present what you need. What do I mean by that? Let me do a financial thing. You buy a house for 30 years, all right? And they say, congratulations, Mrs. Smith. You have a 30-year mortgage, and you're going to have to pay $1,500 a month for the next 30 years. Now, let me explain something to you. When you buy a 30-year mortgage, I know this. I've been through this. You pay for your house three times. Am I right, Brother Fred? Three times in interest. Now, what's wrong with you taking your faith and believing that God's going to give you the finances to pay off your house in 5 years? Now, if you pay off your house in 5 years, you are compressing time and matter. You are compressing time, space, and matter. Instead of 25 years in debt, now you're paying for 5 years in debt. That's faith. Now faith is. While you're believing God, while you're praising God, while you're worshiping God, the glory of God falls. And while the glory of God falls, the glory of God is now also. So when Adam sinned, he lost the glory of God. But as we obey God, as we seek God, as we submit to God, we move ourselves back into his glory. You ain't never been seriously seeking God and the presence of God has not fallen. It's a funny feeling, isn't it? It gets on your flesh. Sometimes you can't move. Sometimes you gotta dance. And most of you think the glory of God is for you to shout and bump and dance. But the glory of God descends on you to eliminate the future and the past and give you what you need in the present. The glory of God descends on you. See, we need to stop jumping and bumping. And getting the glory of God. When I'm in the glory of God, I start asking for stuff. I need this and this and this and this. And I start laying hands on my body. My God is sending the word to my kids and my relatives because I'm in the glory of God. And whenever I'm in the glory of God, I know it's now. Now. And let me say something to you. Some of you have been in the glory of God. And you thought the glory of God was just to bump and jump. But the glory of God comes so you can believe God. Because see, the glory of God is tangible and visible, and it will rest on physical things. It'll rest on your body. It'll rest in the building. It'll rest on your pocketbook. It'll rest on your illness. So the glory of God is not for you to jump and bump. The glory, glory, glory of God manifest on you to make God come real to you. He's visible. He's tangible. He said, you're praising me. That means I gotta come there, because the glory of God is who God is. The glory of God is his character. The glory of God is the essence of his being. He said, so while you're praising me, I'm getting ready to come. I'm gonna saturate you. Stop wasting your time jumping and bumping and hollering and hooping. When the glory of God falls, God, I need to be healed. He takes it out of the future into the present. God, I need some money. He takes it out of the future into the present. God, I need this fixed. Hello? Does that make sense? That makes sense. See, if it don't make sense, raise your hand and get to going. That's what you do. You just get on out of here. Hello, somebody. See, we become so religious. that we miss what God is doing. He said, I want to become visible and tangible to you. See, some of the churches, they don't feel God at all. I'm not saying that they're not saved. Honey, they're saved. But they never get a chance to touch God. They never get a chance to intermingle and have an encounter with God because they don't know how to praise God and allow the glory to fall. And so their services are ice cold and dead. Ding, 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 ding. They read the scripture and they go out the same way they come in. God say, I want to be visible and tangible. He said, when I come into your room, when I come into your service, when I come in your car, when I come wherever you at, I want you to feel me on your body. Have you ever felt the glory of God on your body? Sometimes the glory of God is so tough on your body. Ow! Oh, what is this? He said, because I want to make myself real to you. I want you to know that I'm a real comforter. I want you to know that I'm a real deliverer. I want you to know that I'm a real healer. And how are you going to know that? I'm going to release my glory. Clap your hands for the Holy Ghost. Somebody say glory.
Glory.
Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, my brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto me, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the what? Let me explain what this means. He says, renew your mind back to the actions of 100%. This is going to blow your mind. I beseech you, my brothers, by the mercy of God, that you present your body holy and acceptable unto me, which is your reasonable servant. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. He said, when you accept me, he said, renew your mind according to the word of God. And if you renew your mind according to the word of God, you are in actuality renewing your mind back to when Adam was in the Garden of Eden. Now, when Adam was in the Garden of Eden, the mind functioned at 100%. Hello, somebody. Most of your minds function, some of y'all minds function at 2%. Then you got folks that function at 5%. Then you got folks that function at 10% and 20% and 25%. But you know what? When your mind begins to function full force, you can't even imagine that, could you? When your mind functions full force, you become like Adam. That's an elephant, that's a snake, that's a roach, that's a rat, that's a cow, that's a dog. You don't need anybody to teach you. When Jesus said this, he said, Father, prepare me a body. I'll go down and restore mankind. What is he restoring you back to? Your original state. The original state that Adam and Eve was in. He said, I come not to what? To say what? I come not to seek and to say, I come to seek that which was lost. Not them that was lost. Oh, you better read your Bible, honey. I come to say that which was lost. What was lost? The authority and the dominion that Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden. I come to give it back to you. I know you're going to die, but I come to give you back most of the functionality of it. I come to seek and to save that which was lost, the power and the dominion that was lost, the intelligence that was lost, the gifts, the talents, the abilities, the capabilities that are now operating at 5%. I come to give it to you so you can operate it at 100%. Einstein was diagnosed as a LD. But Einstein operated almost at 25% of brain power. He had more brain power than the average human being on the face of the earth. And it was years before they figured out that he did not have a learning disability, but he thought differently. He thought from the left side of his brain instead of the right side of his brain. And the things that he thought with were abstract. See, most of you think alike. All right, you got maybe 99 and a half point people that think like you think from the right side of your brain. Einstein thought from another side. And so when they tested him, they said, surely he's dumb. He was not dumb. He was operating on another level and on another side of his brain. Now, wait a minute. Einstein hooked up. If you would hook up with God the way you are supposed to hook up with God, if you would believe the word of God the way you are supposed to believe the word of God, if you would turn off your televisions for just a moment, put the newspaper and the magazines down for just a moment, stop playing games for just a moment, it will give your brain a chance to operate in a greater capacity than what it normally operates in. And if you begin to feed yourself the word of God and delight yourself in the word of God and seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, your brain would grab a hold to the 100% functionality that Adam had, and you'll find yourself creating, you'll find yourself inventing, you'll find yourself with profit, you'll find yourself with productivity. But see, you know, we are recreational people. Are we not? You got a million problems. You can't pay your rent. You don't have money from day to day. And you spending 8 hours watching the television. Get watching. You got CDs on. DVDs. You going to the mall. You watching basketball and football. You got all of this stuff. You doing everything that what you're supposed to be doing. And then you tell me, I wonder how come God is not blessing me. But wait a minute. God said, why would I bless you? Your brain is functioning at 5%. What can I do with 5%? And the 5% that is functioning at, you doing what you want to do. Clap your hands for the Holy Ghost. Oh, that was an indictment. That was an indictment for the body of Christ. That was an indictment for the people of God that waste their time, and then you have the nerve and the audacity to expect God to bless you coming in and bless you going out. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, is that you? Turn to another neighbor and say, neighbor, is that you? So even many times your sin and your disobedience will delay even the process of God. Hello, somebody. So write this down. So when you are in faith, faith is now. That means faith comes out of eternity. And when faith comes out of eternity comes what God has already given you, what God has laid aside for you before the foundation of the world. When Adam lost the glory, Jesus said, Father, prepare me a body. I'll go down and redeem mankind, and I will restore that which is lost. Whew. Is he restoring that which is lost? Or is it just in theory? Are you functioning? Or are you functioning in theory? Is the word working for you? Or is it in theory? See, we love to quote the word. We love to say, I'm a child of God. I'm a man of God. I'm a woman of God. I got power. Do you now? Do you really have power? Or are you just repeating religiosity? Are you just repeating Christian cliches? Do you really have power? Hello? My fingers twisted up one day. This is recently. Just twisted up. Just twisted. I got hot. You lying devil, in the name of Jesus, I give you a couple of minutes to come on out of there in the name of Jesus right now. You better be straightened up by the time I look at you. My hands say, bing. Great is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Faith is now. Let us.
Let's make man in our own image and our own likeness, that man may have dominion and authority over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the beast of the field.
What do you have dominion over? Some of you ain't even got dominion over your kids. Hello? Sit down, Johnny. I ain't. Come here, Johnny. I ain't. You needed to be born in my house. No, no. You need to be born in Doris Davis's house. Clap your hands for the Holy Ghost. Matthew 9. Now, don't get me wrong. My mother was not a bad parent. She was a good parent because all of us turned out pretty decent, honey. Because she did not spare the rod, nor the pot, nor the broom. When I see a broom, I have flashbacks. But guess what? I ain't out of control. Guess what? I'm not out of control. I know how to control myself because my parent taught me control. Fred's not out of control because his parents taught him control. They had dominion over us. What do you have dominion over? Hello, I was in a grocery store and a little child said, "Mommy, I want it now." And she was just screaming and hollering. She screamed so loudly and it just got on my nerve. I wanted to choke her. I found myself almost walking towards the basket. I will kill you. And the mother was subdued. I don't remember the name, I'll just say Billy. "Now, Billy, you can't have that." And that kid hollered so, she said, "All right then, I'll just buy it for you." I said, "If it works like that, I should start screaming and hollering. Maybe she'll pay for my groceries." What do you have dominion over? Do you have dominion over your kids? Do you have dominion? See, the Bible says, "Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world." Do you have dominion over you? Do you have dominion over your lust, your appetite, your passions, and your desires? Or do your lust, your passion, your appetites, and your desires have dominion over you? People of God, you are very much misinformed about the church. You are the church. This is a building where the church congregates. This is a building where we learn how to have dominion and authority. This is a building where we learn how to walk like God. This is a building that we learn how to be the light of the world. Don't be misinformed. Don't think you don't have power over what you are facing. That is the enemy making you think that you are under the devil's feet. He got it. He fed it to you backwards. You are not under the devil's feet. The devil is under your feet. Now stomp them real good. I said stomp them real good. Matthew, the 9th chapter, the 18th through the 23rd verse. "And while he spoke these things, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshiped him and said, 'My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hands upon her and she shall live. Now, I told you the story. He was asking Jesus to lay hands on his daughter. And on the way, Jesus was intercepted by the woman with the issue of blood. But notice, go down to the 23rd verse. He's on his way to heal one person. On his way, he heals another person. And he speaks to the person that he is intercepted by. And Jesus turned about when he saw her. And he says, 'Daughter, be of good comfort or good cheer. Thy faith has made thee whole.'" But wait a minute. "And the woman was made whole from what?" That hour. She didn't have to come back to church for 9 applications. The woman was whole that hour. But notice why the woman was whole. She was whole because her faith was fully in sync with the word of God. Her faith was about Jesus. She said in her mind, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I don't even have to have him lay hands on me. I'm so assured that he's so full of healing and virtue that if I could just get to the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Now remember, I said that now faith is. She touched the hem of his garment, and the Bible says she was whole from that hour. Well, Jesus made her whole. That ain't what the Bible says. The Bible says what she possessed made her whole. Well, Jesus' power made her whole. The Bible says her faith made her whole. Her faith is the creative ability of God that was given to her, because God gave every man a measure of faith, and it is up to that man to use that measure of faith according to him or her dilemma. Thy faith has made thee whole. Thy faith has made thee whole. Write this down. Your ability to grasp the supernatural in faith will make you whole. Now, God promises that if you are walking in faith and in his glory, he will loose to you what you need now. Get to this scripture, Amos 9:13. Amos 9:13. It says, behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the threader of grapes him who sows seed. Overtake means to loosen, to overtake, to give ahead of time. What he's saying is, when we are living, I need you to hear me. Remember I told you seed time and harvest? After Adam sinned, the entire earth went back to seed time and harvest. You plant the seed, then you wait for the process of harvest. 9 months, 6 months, or whatever. You plant your tithes and your offering, and then you wait for the harvest. This scripture says that you're going to be able to plant one day, and your harvest is going to come the same day. Oh, you didn't hear me, did you? See, if you really heard me, you'll jump up, start shouting. The scripture says that you're going to be able to plant one day and your harvest is going to come the same day, because when you plant one day and your harvest comes the same day, God's going to know that you planted in faith, and faith is connected to the glory. My God, he said, delight thyself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, what does that mean? You come to the church with sugar, and they tell you it's a process to get through the sugar. You got to get on a diet. You got to take the pill. Somebody got to get a shot. But now you believe in God, and you got. You get in the prayer line. You say, God, I ain't got no time. I don't want to go on a diet. I don't want to curtail my food. I need you to heal me today. Now faith is. Now faith is. You reach into the realm of the supernatural, and the supernatural, which is eternity, brings your healing out of the future right into the presence. And what, while you're standing in the presence of God, you are healed right now. Say it! Behold, the days are coming, said the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake. Somebody say overtake. Say it again, overtake. The reaper and the threader of grapes, whom he serves. That means while the man is planting seeds, the harvest overtakes the planting of the seed. And by the time he gets to the end of the field, his harvest is there. Did you hear what I said? I planted at 3 o'clock. I came back at 5. And lo and behold, there's my harvest. You better believe it. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? See, some of you, you don't know how to believe God because you never believed anybody. Your husband messed you around. Your mama messed you around. Your daddy messed you around. Your boyfriend messed you around. Your girlfriend messed you around. Some old pastor messed you around. So now you can't even believe God. God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. If you want to get it now, you got to believe it now. If you want it to come out of the future, you got to be in my glory. You got to walk in faith. I'm not talking about this wiggle waggle faith. Wiggle waggle faith. You know what wiggle waggle faith is? Somebody speaks to you that you healed. And you say, what happened? I don't know. I think God did something for me. No, let me tell you something right now. He didn't do nothing for you. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You got to believe God before he does something for you. Does that make sense? When we laid hands on her and we said weight loss, it was instant. Before I could say weight loss, she almost broke my foot. She just fell down. Bam! When she got up, she was ready. These manifestations of this supernatural weight loss that's been going on in the last 3 weeks, that's a manifestation of the supernatural. That's a manifestation of the glory in the house of God, and you getting what you need now. That's a manifestation of faith is now. See, God has a many ways to heal you. He heals you by the word. He heals you by faith. He heals you, my God, by the gifts of the Spirit. He heals you, listen to me, by being in the glory of God. God will even heal you by taking the Lord's Supper. He has all kinds of ways to heal you, but he has seven major ways to heal you. And if you can't believe those ways, then the enemy is going to destroy you in the process. How many of you ever got destroyed in the process? Huh? You was waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting on the Lord to see me through. I'm just waiting on the Lord to see me through. You ain't waiting on nobody. God waiting on you to believe him. God waiting on you to receive his word. God is waiting on you to speak his word. God is waiting on you to receive what the gift that he has sent you. God is waiting on you. Clap your hands for the Holy Ghost. So back to the glory of God. The glory of God, write this down, is visible, touchable, tangible manifestation of who he is. That's the glory of God. The glory of God is his full presence. See, some of you are mistaking the glory of God for the anointing of God. The anointing is sent to break the yoke. The anointing is for man. The anointing is smeared on man so man can do the will of God. The glory is God. It is the visible, tangible manifestation of God. My God, the essence of his presence. He steps into the room where you are at. You don't need to do anything when the glory of God comes because it is all God. Hello? Oh, God, visible, tangible manifestation of him. And the church has lost that. The church has lost that. Come to church, and now the preacher, and now the song, and now the offering, and now the scripture, and now everybody leave the same way they came in. Hello? When the glory of God comes, you feel it on your flesh. You know you're not the same. Because God does not come into your life to allow you to remain the same. But you got to receive him. Does that make sense? I go to Sister LaWanna's house and she said, who is that? I say, Pastor Blossom. And she don't want to let me in. That means she don't want to receive me. Hello? So I may have $1 million, which that's never going to happen, to give to her. And if I give her $1 million, I'm going to have $100 million. Hello? Hello? So I'm standing at the door with $100 million. And I said, this is Pastor Blossom. And she said, I'm not going to receive you. Well, she don't know what I have for her. Because I didn't tell her what I had. Hello, somebody? If I told her what I had, I said, this is Pastor Blossom with $1 million. Come on in. Hello? And she said, and you know it. God does not always tell you when you are in the... You better hear revelation, baby. God does not always tell you when you are in the presence of God what he has for you. He wants you to open up the doors of your heart and receive him. And when you receive him, you may be thinking God wants to heal me. God said, I came with a multitude of blessing. I came with some money. I came with some deliverance. I got a bunch of stuff. Hello, somebody. I told the Lord the other day, I said, Lord, I need some more money. I said, now the church is doing this, and we had lent the church, what, it was 6 years ago, $5,488. How much is it? $5,488. And I had been praying, and God had been talking to me about money. And I was trying to balance the books and calling Pastor Terry and talking to Ray and balancing the books. And I got a check. I got an envelope. I said, look, what is this? And I could hear God speaking for the last 2 weeks, money in the mail, money in the mail. And so when you hear money in the mail, you run in your mailbox. And every time I was running my mailbox, wouldn't nothing be here. And I would say, you lying devil, you lying devil. And I didn't hear money in the mail no more. Went to my mailbox. Was it Friday, right? Friday. I had a $5,488 check. I kicked back $2,000 to the church. But that I had been praying. Everything that is held up, everything that belonged to me, every dollar, every penny, my God, loose it in the name of Jesus. Now, wait a minute. Now, I would be stupid and a fool to think that's all God gonna give me. Hello, somebody. I got some money coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And every time I stand in the glory of God, I want to tell God, send it on. Send it on. Send it on. Now, I'm gonna say this, not for, no. This woman here, I rebuke this woman every week. Stand up. You. Every week she'll buy me something, or every other week, and she'll put $20 in the envelope, $25 in the envelope. Sit down. I don't mean to say it like that, but. And I rebuke. I said, did you pay your tax? She said, Pastor, I'm catching up. I said, look, don't give me nothing. Pay your tax, because I know she's stopping her blessing. I'm going to tell you this, and God brought it. I was sitting in my room, and one of my cousin going to say, uh-huh. I was sitting in my room, and the Lord said, I want you to tell Sister Lily how you appreciate how she honors you. I'm serious. And sometimes I just be so, look, what is this? She says, it's your birthday here. You can't make me stop doing what I'm doing. And you know, so Lily look kind of fierce. You say, oh, okay. I want to tell you something. Stop wasting the glory of God that's in this house. You just coming to feel something. Hear me? Stop wasting the anointing. Learn how to handle it correctly. Stop doing what you want to do in the service. When the glory of God comes, you don't know what he's coming to do for you. When God gave us the anointing for obesity, We was in a Friday night service. Am I right? We were just praying. I was sitting on the altar. And God said, I'm going to give you an anointing for obesity. He said, when you lay hands, the weight is going to fall off. It fell off instantly. Instantly. You got to honor the glory of God. See, you've been saved so long, you take it for granted. Come when you want to come, and you come late, you come in the middle. Hey, you got to honor God. You don't know what he bringing. Hello? You don't know what he got. And guess what? What he have might be at 10 o'clock. And you get in at 10:15. He said, well, I gave it to somebody else. You wasn't here. I can't tell you how many times I've given something to somebody else because the person wasn't there to receive it. Or the person didn't appreciate it. And I thought to myself, I'm not going to give it to them any longer. I'm going to give it to this person because this person appreciates this. Does that make sense? See, God got some keys to prosperity. God got some inventions. God got some businesses. God got some business knowledge that he wants to impart to you. See, some of you just think it's money. Honey, if God give you favor, you don't need no money. If God give you an invention, you don't need no money. If God take the laziness out of you. We need to always enter into the glory of God so that God can bless us. I want to give you one more scripture, and then we are done. We're going to take the Lord's Supper, and you're going to be healed by the Lord's Supper. Weight's going to fall off of you today by the Lord's Supper. Financial stability is going to come by the Lord's Supper. So I don't want you to get taking the Lord's Supper just acting like you're taking the Lord's Supper, because that's not how it is going. Does that make sense? Colossians 1:29. My God. I'm almost there. Listen to this. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. This is what Paul says. He said, I'm working hard with what God has given me. And because Paul used what he already had, God gave him the increase that he needed. Now you can write this down. The power of God, the potential of God was increased in Paul because of his hard work. Because he used what God already had given him. Some of you are asking God to give you all kinds of stuff, and you don't even use what you already got. I want to do this. I want to be this. I want to get this. Hey, wait a minute. Perfect the one gift he gave you. Master what he gave you. Paul became a master at a multitude of things because he mastered it. He used everything that God gave him. Every gift, every talent, every ability, every capability, every potential, every resource. And when he used everything that God gave him, God began to crown him with mastery. He was able to do exceedingly abundantly. He was able to conquer. He was able to go over defeat and failure because he used everything that God gave you. Everything you need is already in you. Does that make sense? You don't need another book to read about anything. You need to master what you already got. Does that make sense? You need to master what you already got. You remember the man with the talent? Man had five talents, one man had two talents, one man had one talent. And the owner went away and gave him, he said, take these five talents and make a profit. He came back, and the man with the five talents gave him five more talents. The man with the two talents, he said, take these two talents and make a profit. He came back, and the man with the two talents had four talents. Gave the man one talent, came back, and the man with the one talent didn't do nothing. Somebody say nothing. Say it like I said, nothing. God said, why didn't you mess with, why didn't you do that? He said, I know you was a hard man reaping where you haven't sowed. God threw him into hell because he didn't use what he had. See, sometimes you're so busy looking for people to give you something. See, that gimme attitude gonna keep you in poverty. That gimme attitude gonna keep you poor and defeated and a failure. That I deserve this, but I didn't work for nothing. That's a gimme attitude. If you begin to use what God has already given you, tell the neighbor, say, use it, use it, use it, use it, use it. So lastly, God's glory creates matter. God's glory will create in your body, in your mind, in your soul.